Hello, my friends. This is Paul Drockton, and welcome to True Religion Radio. Now, today, I want to talk about God the Father. We talked about Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God the Father. Now, understand that the truth of the matter is Jesus Christ explained the relationship between him and his Father. And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. I just want you to think about, ponder, and pray about, okay? First of all, when the Lord's Prayer was given, Jesus Christ said, "Our Father," meaning his Father too, which art where? In heaven. Where was Jesus Christ? On earth. So Jesus Christ was on earth, but his Father was in heaven. When Jesus Christ was baptized, a voice was heard coming from the heavens that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, in the intercessory prayer, where Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he stated, "Please bless these," referring to his disciples, "that they might be one with us, even as we are one." Now, think about that. It would take, I don't even know, a monster, you know, to roll all those people together in one body. And number one, number two, why would you want to? It doesn't make sense. So, based on the scriptures, it's pretty clear that God the Father also has a resurrected body. Critical point, my friends, because literally, if he didn't, then they wouldn't be equal. God the Father and Jesus Christ both have a fullness of knowledge. But if God the Father was just a spirit and not a resurrected being, that would give Jesus Christ the Son the advantage over the Father. Now, we can't take the truth and stuff it in doctrine. I don't care if it's 10,000 years old. We got to look at the facts. The facts are the Bible teaches that God the Father and God the Son are two separate individuals with their own resurrected bodies. Now, let's proceed from there as long as we all agree. Where did this concept of three in one come from? Well, if you take a look at the scriptures, right? Jesus Christ was asked by one of his disciples, "When will you show us the Father?" Jesus Christ said, "Have I been with you this long and you haven't seen the Father?" He just explained to him that they're basically in the exact image of each other. If you see the Father, he looks like the Son. If you see the Son, he looks like the Father. This is going to make perfect sense to you as we continue this. He also stated, "I do nothing save my Father before me." Critical, it's another critical scripture, another critical point. God the Father basically went through the same mortal experience as the Son. Did he do it here? Of course not. Do you honestly believe that this is God's only creation that was populated by his children? Really? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. God's eternal. This has been an eternal process of bringing salvation and exaltation to his children. So, based on what the Savior said, "I do nothing save my Father before me." Basically, what he's saying is that my Father also created a world, just like the Savior did. My Father also had to go through the experience of first being pure light and truth or intelligence, the greatest intelligence of all, then coming into the Spirit as the greatest intelligence of them all, going through a mortal probation just like Jesus Christ, dying on a cross, just like Jesus Christ, and going through the atonement, just like Jesus Christ, suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, just like Jesus Christ, basically living the exact life, making the exact same choices as Jesus Christ did in this creation. Think about that. It's a critical point because nothing else makes sense. Jesus Christ and God the Father are two separate beings, but clearly the Father came first. The Father had to go through his own creation before the Son appeared on the scene. Now, that's important. Why is that important? Because it's now the other things I'm explaining to you are going to start making sense. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Why is that? How can God be sovereign? Well, Martin Luther, talked about predestination. And Calvin also talked about predestination. And predestination is still, it's a pretty solid belief, you know, among Protestants. But let me just tweak it just a little bit, all right? if you think about it, if there was someone like God the Father in the previous creation and someone like Jesus Christ in this creation, then it would make sense that all the other ingredients had to be the same, meaning that individuals that are equal in intelligence to this entire creation, just like us, were those that were participants in the Father's creation. Think about it. If you're trying to make a bowl of soup, you change one of the ingredients, they're not the same. They can't be. And if the Father basically went through the same experiences as the Son, then it had to be with the same intelligences. We weren't there. This wasn't a reincarnation. This was intelligences that came before in the previous creation that were brought into the Spirit by the Father of spirits, right? God the Father, went through their own mortal probation, died, went back into the Spirit, and then were resurrected with their own bodies. This is the process, my friends. This is the eternal process. That's what we're going to call it. There's no other explanation. So it isn't so much that God programmed us to be this way. It's that He knows who we are. He selected us from the beginning. We were with Him as intelligences. And in order for the plan to work, Jesus Christ had to pick the exact same type of intelligences for His creation as the Father picked for His. It really is that simple. That's the only thing that makes sense. Which means that after this creation is resurrected, or I don't know when, there has to be another creation that is a replica of this one. Basically, all the same intelligences coming to the earth at the same time we did, right? And their choices will be the exact same choices we made. They're right behind us. And yeah, they look just like us. And they think just like us. That, my friends, is the perfect recipe. So you are an ingredient and the perfect recipe for mortality. So the question then becomes, right? Who is God the Father? God the Father is Jesus Christ of the previous creation. Jesus Christ is the Son in this creation, but He will be the Father in the next creation. And it just keeps going. What a beautiful, beautiful truth. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is probably the greatest truth that I can share with you. But it's important that you understand the true nature of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Now, I'm not asking you ever to take my word on this stuff. I want you to pray about it. I want you to ponder about it. I want you to think about it. And I want you to ask the Lord to bless you so you're not afraid of the truth. Because once you embrace the truth will set you free. And you'll begin to understand God's sovereignty. He is the person that selected you. Jesus Christ is the one that selected you to be in this creation. Because of who you are. And you have a role to play. And none of us really know what that role is until we go through it. But I will tell you this, it seems to me that this creation is structured so that the first will be last and the last are first. What does that mean? Well, it seems certain to me that the greatest intelligences have to start at the bottom. And then through God's grace, they can move up from there. But Jesus Christ did say, the world hateth me, right? How much more are they going to hate you? So we're not here to be part of the world. We're here to overcome the world through Jesus Christ. This is Paul Drockton. God bless my friends and have a great day.